The Lamb and the Light. The peace that came to Herrnhut and the Awakening in 1727 shone through everything they did. It transformed the chaos of a refugee camp into a model of communal order and efficiency. It turned lions of law and justice into lambs of mercy and grace. But nowhere, and in nothing, did it bring about a greater miracle than in the mood of Herrnhut itself. From harshness and suspicion, the Lord Christ changed the atmosphere at Herrnhut into one of holy delight. Brothers and sisters saw one another as if for the first time. Love abounded. Innocence reigned. And as from heaven, a wonderful gift of song came to the congregation. Every evening the choirs at Herrnhut sang and played before the Lamb. Singing perfected, powerful hymns moved the congregation to its feet time after time in joint services. Everyday hymn writers and composers added to an infinite variety of arrangements. Brothers and sisters rising in the congregation began singing any verse of any song, and the rest joined in, full volume, from the heart, sometimes continuing in incredible medleys that lasted for hours. Organists learning to glide from tune to tune between more than 400 melodies without a hitch. In the years immediately following the awakening at Herrnhut, its people, believing that singing is the truest expression of the heart, wrote over 70,000 German hymns. Intimately part of Herrnhut's atmosphere of song was its worship and celebration. Anyone could and did call meetings any time. Love feasts for a few or for many became a preferred way of celebrating special occasions. Anything from a baby's festival, quite charming to observe, the babies being as attentive as if they understood everything that was said, to a birthday, to the beginning of the wheat harvest. But celebrations at Herrnhut in the presence of the Lamb did not lose the high grace of holiness. Weeping in times of celebration was as common as open expressions of joy. Brothers and sisters should sing from the heart or else be quiet, the community agreed in 1746. The congregation at Herrnhut, thanks to Ludwig von Zinzendorf and his friends, made full use of the Christian liturgical tradition, and the chanting of litanies became a favorite form of worship among them. With antiphonal choirs, a liturgist, and the participation of the whole church, the believers sang the Te Abba, the Song of the Bride, the Great Paschal Litany, the Agape, the Prayer to the Holy Ghost, and the Hymn of the Wounds, to name a few. Special litanies, written by Moravians, accompanied the practice of ordinances like the pedilavium, feet washing, the kiss of peace, and baptism. On the day of the Lord's resurrection, the entire congregation, awakened before daybreak by the Young Brothers Trombone Choir, met in the Saal to sing the Great Paschal Litany based on the Apostles' Creed. Halfway through, they rose to walk, a stream of people, to the burial ground on the Hutberg. There, standing in a great circle around the graves, they lifted their voices at sunrise to sing the rest of the litany, in which they mentioned the names of all who had gone home the previous year. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, hear us when we pray. Chorus, the Spirit and the Bride say come, liturgist, and whoever hears say come, congregation, amen. Yes, Lord Jesus, come. Do not tarry. We wait and long for you, sisters. Come, brothers, yes, come, everyone, come, liturgist, and he will come with a warrior's shout, the voice of the angel, the trumpet of God. From heaven he will come, chorus. To judge the living and the dead, liturgist, I believe that our brothers, names of the deceased, and our sisters, names of the deceased, have joined the upper church going into the joy of the Lord, and that only their bodies lie here, brothers and sisters. In his earth, and the time shall quickly come when they shall rise with our risen Lord. Chorus, the right this earth, our mother place, has to their bodies, their souls have to the refuge in his side. Congregation, we, poor sinners, pray, hear us, Lord, liturgist, and keep us with your church complete, in eternal fellowship where we may rest forever in your wounds. Pay day in a new world, believing that nothing happened by accident, but that all choices freely made by men and women have eternal consequences. The believers at Herrnhut early began to record events. Every choir house kept a journal. The congregation itself kept one, and individuals wrote their own Lebenslauf, the story of their lives, focusing on how they came to Christ and their walk with him, to be finished at death by their choir leaders, and read out loud at their homegoing beside the grave. Homegoings, funerals at Herrnhut, developed into serious but ever more joyful celebrations, to the astonishment of all looking on. Love for Christ in a dark age of war and disease overcame the sting of death. The sadness of separation gave way to triumphant joy at sending people on to the Lamb. The more passing over the better, Ludwig wrote, for in this way we maintain constant postal connection with regions above, carrying with it our greetings and kisses. A hymn sung at home goings expressed the believers' feelings well. Come and help, come with your innermost being to praise our wise and loving Jesus. If nothing separates us from our head, he will help us to complete our work until we have believed our way through. Invisible Bridegroom, we will not forget you through it all, until we come to see you on the new way. Loyalty in battle will be what counts until payday in a new world. Sweat and dust for Canaan land. Life at Herrnhut, the place of the Lord's care, was no longer ordinary European life. It no longer revolved around Germany, Moravia, Protestants, Catholics, money, marriage, lands, or earthly things. It was life in the light of eternity, wide open before Jesus Christ, where everything not possessing heavenly worth became passing trivia. In its earliest years, Ludwig von Zinzendorf had written a song about Herrnhut. Where are you together, you my beloved, my heart, with your flock for which you suffered terrible pain? Where do you live? We know that the places where love for one another burns, the paths aglow with your covenant of blood, are known only to you, the Lamb, alone. You live in 17 little houses, where the trails open up in Herrnhut, the place of the Lord's watch, a free settlement that will not go on unless the Lord goes with it, and unless he does in it what he wants to do. In the mid-1700s, the Lord did what he wanted to do at Herrnhut, and eternity alone will reveal the outcome of it. Victoria's far more than trivial gifts and Weihnachtsback came to Herrnhut with the holiday season of 1733. Pilgrims sent out by the brothers had begun to return with encouraging but thought-provoking reports. Among those who found their way to Herrnhut with them was a young seeker from the University of Jena, August Gottlieb Spangenberg. He asked serious questions and serious discussions ensued. In their discussions, the awakened believers at Herrnhut spoke of their Czech and Waldensian background. They mentioned the influence of Lutheran pietism and of German sectarians upon them. "But where does the Savior want us to go from here?" they asked one another. "With whom and how?" Pondering these questions and more, Ludwig von Zinzendorf sat by the fire in his house on a cold day. Someone had emptied a trash can into the flames, and he noticed how a scrap of paper fell from the fire without getting burned. Picking it up, he saw it was a watchword, followed by two lines from a familiar German hymn, "Lass uns in deiner Nagel mal, erblicken unsere Naden voll." Let us see in your nail wounds how you have chosen us through grace. For a moment, Ludwig stood silent while the significance of the watchword dawned on him. Then, overcome with adoration and holy joy, to Ludwig von Zinzendorf and all believers at Herrnhut, the Lord began to reveal, on this winter day, a theology of blood. In Christ's blood and wounds, not in human tradition, would Herrnhut find the right way to go. In Christ's blood and wounds, not in narrow demoninationalism, would it discover true fellowship. Preaching Christ's blood and wounds no more, no less, its pilgrim messengers would find their way to the ends of the earth. Once he saw Christ's blood and wounds, Ludwig felt free to let self-righteous pietism, do good, say your prayers, watch out for sin, go. Suddenly he knew that no amount of frommekeit, pious works, would save him. He felt the greatness of his own sin and at the same time wonderful cleansing in Christ's blood, an immersion by faith in its life-giving stream, and the refuge in the wound in his side. As the entire community at Herrnhut entered with Ludwig into the reality of this blood experience, all other concepts of religion faded out among them. They lost sight of everything but Christ's blood and wounds to such an extent that Ludwig could write, years later, "Since 1734, the reconciling sacrifice of Jesus has become our particular and public and only subject matter, our universal weapon against all evil in teaching and practice, and so it shall remain into eternity." In the awakening of 1727, the Lord had already transformed the life and practice of Herrnhut's believers. Now, in the awakening of 1734, he transformed what they believed. Fountain of eternal life like Eve sprang to life out of Adam's side. The Moravians saw the church springing to life from Christ's holy Satan shrine, sidewound. In it they found the refuge and true matrix of the church, giving new birth to souls, the fountain of eternal life in which to baptize all believers in the Savior's blood and water and buried in the hollow of his wound. Ludwig von Zinzendorf wrote, "It is known what a strong cement the ancients used in their buildings, so that a whole wall was like one stone. But ours excels all. When our house is joined together by the Lamb's blood, and not the least pebble put in without having the moisture of his wounds upon it, we shall be indissoluble. The pierced side of Jesus is the central point from which all that is spiritual may be deduced. There we find the square root of all spiritual and heavenly matters, and on it our system is based." A later Moravian historian described what happened. All the formal details of their faith were in practice, so overshadowed by the one doctrine of the vicarious atonement that this became their distinguishing mark in worship, belief, and conversation. The atonement was so mysterious to them that they shrank from any explanation of the controversial words, "This is my body." Their teaching and preaching were exclusively Christocentric, not Christological, always directing their thoughts to the sacrificial death of Christ and his passion.